it's the most wonderful time of the year. Merry Christmas from all of us at News Radio WGNS. Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric, and MTE is grateful for the trust and warmth of its members during this season. MTE would like to wish you a season filled with joy and peace. Happy holidays from MTE. Our friends from Rutherford County Paws are joining us today. Sebastian brought a crew today. Sebastian Jordan, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, good. Good to have you. And we have some returners and, and one for just a little short time left, right?
Yeah, unfortunately. We've got Crystal and Steve here with us.
Crystal, Vineyard?
Vineyard.
Vineyard. Oh, that's what
Close
I thought. I
was,
you know, it's Vineyard, right? Yes. I guess you've been called a few things, right?
I have. That's definitely not the worst thing I've been called.
I understand. So I hope you're off to good things for you. But
I am.
Well, good. Yes. Very good. And Steve Edwards here, the cat man, is he's affectionately known, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
But you told me a dog joke a second ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to hear it again?
Let's hear it.
Well, yeah, well, we might as well put a little, you know, brightness in everyone's day.
Well, a friend of mine was having, spending Christmas in Arizona with his son and his and their family, and they had brought a dog with them. They stayed at a, like a Airbnb, and anyways, the pit bull had gotten a hold of a bag of Scrabble tiles, and ate every one of them, and so they rushed him to the vet, and no word yet.
I love it.
Yeah, you told me that, and I was, you know, thinking, gosh, what a vet bill that's going to be, and, you know, and then all of a sudden, so dogs are notorious for eating things they shouldn't.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm going through that with my puppy. He has taken to the vinyl blinds.
Oh.
Yeah. So they like to jump on the back of the couch and look out. Well, apparently that's a chew toy now. So I was going to raise the blinds the other day, and I saw these chew marks out of a couple of the blinds there. So we've tried. I've tried that bitter spray. I'm hoping that that's a deterrent.
Hopefully. So. That's something my cats do. I didn't think about dogs chewing on the blinds.
I did not realize that either. So cats are just as mischievous. Huh?
Yeah, they want to look out of the window. And so if you, you close it off, they've got to get through it somehow.
I guess so. Well, I mean, I had the blinds open and they could see out. I just think that was, you know, a boredom thing or something. Who knows? But
they need a larger view.
I guess so. I guess so.
Or more blinds in their diet.
You know, there's... We've had dogs that have eaten so many things, and they sometimes those vet bills, you know, you can watch stories on YouTube and whatever and see, you know, their whole socks or something like that, and it's pretty expensive surgery to have that taken care of. But anyway, pets can be fun, I guess.
Yeah, they can be a handful.
Wrong source
they
of fun.
They can be all the above.
Absolutely. Well, Sebastian, what's on your mind to tell us about what's going on with Paws?
Well, we're just kind of wrapping up the end of the year here. We just had Empty the Shelters ended, which is a quarterly event with Bissell. And we had Santa Paws last Friday.
How did that go?
It went great. It was a lot of fun. We had Santa and Mrs. Claus volunteer to come take photos, and people could bring their pets and, you know, get some photos with Santa.
Well, that was nice.
Yeah.
And you got the big man on speed dialed in, huh?
We do.
As busy as he is this time of the year.
It was me and my wife.
A little Santa's helper there, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, great. So.
And he did not get peed on.
At all.
Oh,
at
wow.
all. Not a single dog.
Were you expecting that?
I was expecting that.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they get excited and, you know, they just kind of let go. So.
I understand. Yeah. I guess nervous bladders.
Yeah.
Are they like kids? When the kids go, do they get scared of the red suit and all that stuff? Some of them.
Maybe, but our daughter-in-law brought our grandson and granddaughter, and our grandson's four, and he would not come nowhere near me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like,
uh-uh.
And I pulled the beard down, and I'm like, turn, man, it's Papa. And he's like,
uh-uh.
No, it's not.
Any of the animals have that same reaction?
No.
No?
No.
No. They did very well. Very well.
You're kind of just scary anyway, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, so the partnership with Bissell, that is, Sebastian, kind of a, you said quarterly thing that's done?
Yeah, they run it every quarter. So there will be one in the spring. Not sure about the dates yet.
Okay.
But yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. We had 35 adoptions from this most recent one.
Very good. That's pretty good numbers, good. I guess. Huh?
That is good.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So, Crystal, kind of tell us a little bit about what you do at PAWS. And just kind of talk about that bit.
So, title is Volunteer and Foster Coordinator. So I started out looking at all of the volunteer and foster applications, read through them. I do background checks on everybody, and then I start bringing the volunteers in. So I start reaching out to them, kind of telling them what the next steps are, if they're still interested. We usually go through like online orientation, you know, a Teams or a Zoom kind of meeting, do tours for our volunteers, and then we start training. As far as fostering go, I usually like to have a one-on-one conversation with them, and then we bring them in and make sure they're prepared to take on a foster should we need them. Because we only foster our neonate kittens and puppies, so that's typically animals that don't have a mother and maybe still need to be bottle fed. So it's a pretty big commitment for somebody who wants to do that, but they always have the option to say no if I've reached out to them. So once volunteers are in, we go through training. I kind of show them how to use our volunteer program to schedule themselves, take themselves off of the schedule, until they're kind of self-sufficient. Of course, we're always here to answer questions if they have them. But that's pretty much it. Most of the volunteers come in, maybe Steve could answer the question why, but a lot of our volunteers are there because they really have a passion for the pets. And maybe they have a passion for the community. Maybe they really want to talk to the public and help a system when people are coming in looking for their lost family pets, or when they're trying to adopt a new family of their house, and they're that first face to greet them and welcome them in. So as a volunteer coordinator and a foster coordinator, I'm really just here trying to facilitate that, organize everything, and I do a lot of scheduling.
Yeah. it sounds like it. So the fostering, there's kind of a kitten season, isn't there?
There is. Usually it's whenever it's hot. Typically, as the temperature rises, so do the number of kittens. Not to say that we don't have some kittens out in the wintertime. It does happen. And it is more so kittens typically than puppies that need to be fostered. But yes, I would say the hotter it is, typically the more kittens we will have.
And that would be a tough job. Have you ever done that, Steve? With the fostering of the
Never
kittens?
Have.
Yeah.
Just
that would be very intense, I would think.
Yeah, and I don't know that my three would put up with it.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, I guess you've got others there, too. Yeah, that makes a big difference. And in terms of volunteers, are there a certain number of hours, or I mean, how does that work for maybe someone listening that is a pet enthusiast and would like to give up time?
So there's no minimum number of hours to donate. However, we do put a block on how many time shifts you can sign up for. I believe the block is either at 2 or 3 time shifts. So those time shifts are usually about an hour and a half, maybe even up to 2 hour time blocks. We want people to come in and volunteer as much as they want. We also don't want our volunteers to get burnt out. If you've ever worked with volunteers before, volunteer burnout is a big thing across multiple agencies, and that can happen when a volunteer feels overworked and underappreciated. So for that reason, we do limit how much a volunteer can donate.
And then you've got this guy here.
We do.
Are you an exception to that rule?
Pretty much. I've been there longer than a lot of the employees and most of the volunteers, or all the, just about all the volunteers.
Yeah.
And I'm Tuesday, Thursday. I do events on Saturday. We do popcorn. My wife helps with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, anytime they need me, they just holler and I'll be there.
Does your wife go and volunteer the same amount as you?
No, she doesn't volunteer there. She does volunteer work elsewhere.
Okay.
Like on the Saturdays where when we do popcorn, she comes with me and we do popcorn and just for like 4 hours make popcorn.
Yeah.
Just bag after bag after bag.
As much as you can make, they're eating it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. You know, and it's great to have Crystal volunteers like that, but not everyone has to have that strict of a schedule. And,
correct.
You know, I guess just maybe get in and ask questions if they're interested.
Definitely. In fact, some of our volunteers may only be able to donate 1 day a month to volunteer, which isn't a problem once they're trained. Sometimes the training process can be long, especially when we're talking about me leaving and a new volunteer coordinator coming in and getting trained. Sometimes, you know, stars have to align, so to speak. Our schedules have to line up. But other than that, we appreciate any time that's donated. And it's not really the appreciation from the staff that people are doing this for. It's really for the community and the pets that are there at the shelter.
Sure, absolutely. Before our time gets away, I want to make sure that we mention a lot of people may be thinking this time of the year, a pet, Christmas ideas, mm-hmm. things like that. So, you know, I guess you need to kind of be a bit cautious about that when considering that. But, I mean, are there adoption times that are coming up between now and Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, we're open.
When you're open.
Yeah, we're open every day except Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day.
Okay.
So, you know, through the next 2 weeks, we will have a lot of days we're open doing adoptions. We keep the same adoption parameters in place. You know, even if it's for gift giving, if there are kids in the house or other pets, we ask that you come do a meet and greet just to make sure that the pet's going to go to a good home, that they get along with everyone.
Yeah.
It kind of ruins the surprise, you know, the pulling out
sure.
a kitten on Christmas. But, you know, we want to make sure that everyone is ready to take on that responsibility and that it will be a good home.
Well, I mean, that's a very important part of that. So there's not a return,
yes.
you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like getting a new pair of jeans or something, right. and you take them back if they don't fit. Exactly. But, you know, that's not the case with an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, talk a little bit about your volunteerism as well as we leave, and what you look forward to here in the new year.
I just, excuse me, I go in, and when I first get there, I go into the cat room and I look at all the cats and I say hello to them all. And then I go clock in, and then I come back and I spend the rest of my day there, going from one to the other. And I'll spend time petting this one, then I'll go to this one, then this one. And it's just so incredibly rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
It is amazing. And, you know, they appreciate it. There was one particular cat. His name's Todd. And he...
They're laughing about Todd. There must be a story.
Yeah, he's kind of, he's a little older, and he's big. And most of the time he doesn't want to be bothered. And so I would open the kennel door and I'd put my hand in slowly and he'd swat at it. And so I started giving him a little treat or some food, like the wet food, and we became best friends.
Oh, I bet.
So I spent about 20 minutes yesterday just petting him, and he just absolutely enjoyed it so much. And they all seem to.
Sometimes you just have to earn their trust, I guess. It. As long as you've got food, that's probably the important part about yeah, that.
But then, you know, after the food was gone, you know, he still let me pet him for yeah. quite a while.
And it's the hope of more food.
Yes. more.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it works sometimes. Cats can be that way yeah. sometimes.
They have catitude.
Ah, that's one good word for it, I guess. Well, I appreciate you all coming in here this morning and wish you a very Merry Christmas and everybody at Paws and good luck in the future there, Crystal.
Thank you.
And Steve, keep being the cat man, I guess, right?
That's me.
Appreciate it. Our friends from Rutherford County Paws joining us today here on Rutherford Issues. Hope you have a wonderful day. See you back here next time.